Shalom, Rabbi Yisai. Let's briefly recap what we discussed yesterday. Eicha, denoting Yirmiyahu coming and saying that the. I'm gonna briefly run through what we discussed yesterday, also for the benefit of people who missed it. Chazal tell us that Eicha comes at the end of. It's the third time the word Eicha is said about Klal Yisrael. There's a series here. Moshe says, Eicha is sol levadi tochachem v'asachem v'livchem. Yishayahu says, Eicha is sol lezayna kiryo ne'emona. And then Yirmiyahu says, Eicha yashva v'odo d'ir ha'bosiyam. And the way Chazal put it was, these were three very stark stages in Klal Yisrael's history. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking in awe at the Jewish people, and what Hashem was making out of the Jewish people. He was so overwhelmed. He said, how could it possibly be that I'm expected to bear the responsibility for such a divine, immense people? And that it should be put on me to be setting them on the right track. This is so big. Because I'll put it, again, it's not compatible with reading it in the tune of Eicha. On the contrary, according to this Medrash, it's bringing out the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that pasuk. And that was stage number one. Understanding that Hashem took Klal Yisrael and made them into the most glorious Bria Kiviyachal that he has. More than the Torah? Well, Klal Yisrael is the materialization of the Torah. Klal Yisrael is the embodiment of the Torah. And that, as is discussed in Kuzari, that is really what Hashem holds up as the crown jewel of his creation. The Pele that the Jewish people is, the greatness that Hashem made out of them in a way that Hashem saw in a human being a lot more than we could possibly imagine. And he made them into something that we might consider above reality, which is the truth today also. We have to realize that. Our lifestyle, which we're already accustomed to, defines the reality of the outside world. Discuss that often. I'm not going to give examples now, but yeah, things that we already take for granted about ourselves, right? Standards of tzedakah, right? That it's pretty much a given. People give 10% of their income. If you have such a phenomenon anywhere else in the world, moral standards. And then Yishayahu comes and says, "Eicha Yisrael Zayna? How could it be that they dropped like this? How could it be that they degenerated like this?" And that culminated with Yirmiyahu coming and saying, how could it have reached a place where the glorious people of Hashem are now Eicha Yashva Bado? How could that possibly be? Then we moved on to explain the Medrash that says that Eicha is written along the order of Aleph Beis, since the Jews were over on the Torah, which is given the Aleph Beis. So to briefly repeat what we said, and this will also lead into what we want to talk about today, the significance of that is the understanding that, again, as we said from Moshe Shapira, Aleph Beis is the cornerstone, it's the building block of all expression. Hashem created the world b'ma'amar piv, with the Aleph Beis. And the ultimate tziruf of the Aleph Beis is the Torah, meaning Aleph Beis, as represented in the Torah, reflects the fact that the Torah is really the cornerstone of existence. When it reached a place that was already defined as Avru al HaTorah, rather than they were over on a mitzvah here, they were over on a mitzvah there, what basically happened was that the world order now changed. There was a world order which was manifest in the great days of the Beis HaMikdash, particularly the Bayis Rishon, of Hashem with his people being at the top of the pyramid, living in a supernatural reality, etc., which is expressed in Rabosi Am, Sarosi Bagoim, right? Rabosi Bamdinois, which means, what is Sarosi Bagoim? Sorry. What does Sarosi Rabosi Bagoim, Sarosi Bamdinois? Rabosi Am means that there were many in number. But Rabosi Bagoim and Sarosi Bamdinois means that they were, if we'll put it this way, they were the top of the pyramid culture-wise. If we're talking like if you will, fashion, whatever it is. It was like what everybody looked up to was the Jew. As it says, that back in the days of the Bayis Rishon, they wanted to hear the Chochmah of the Jews. The Jews had a certain halo about them. If a Jew traveled to Chutz Laretz, which wasn't a very common occurrence, if a Jew traveled to Chutz Laretz, it was considered a very choshev occasion, and they would try to set him up. People should be able to come to hear his Chochmah, the divine Chochmah that came from living in Eretz Yisrael with the Shechina, right? This is the world order, where the Kavod Hashem is in the fact that his nation is shining at the top of the pyramid. That's the Kavod Hashem. And that's how Hashem's glory reflects off the Jewish people. Now, there had to be a whole new world order was created, where the Jews are the underdog. It's a different form of existence. That's what we're saying. Eicha is written by Aleph Beis. It's kind of like replacing. There was a world order of the Torah being the pulse of the Bria, where the keeping of the Torah, where Hashem's people, Klal Yisrael living the Torah, the connection between the Torah, Klal Yisrael and Hashem, is the cherry on the top of the Bria, and the rest of the world is looking up, and now it reaches a point where new world order, where Klal Yisrael is the underdog, despised, disgusting, a natural aversion that the rest of the world has to the Jewish people. Like we said, Chazal Darshan, Echa Yoshva Badad, Badad is from the term, the clothing of an olive presser, a very, Badadin are olive pressers, the clothing of an olive presser, which is a very dirty, repulsive suit, messy, apparently has a bad smell, people want to keep away from it. So now there's a certain reality, instead of the halo, the Jews turned into a despised people that the rest of the people have an aversion to. Let's understand. It's very important to realize that anti-Semitism is a very, very fundamental dynamic in the Bria, which serves a number of different purposes. Don't relate to it materially. You have to certainly keep away from places where there are anti-Semites who will throw things at you. And you have to do your ishtadlis, etc., to defend ourselves from it. But don't start fretting about it. Don't become indignant. Don't put emotional energy into, I can't believe it. Anti-Semitism is popping up here also. Anti-Semitism is in the Bria. It's there to stay. It has a lot of different layers to it. But this is one of the things that we're saying here. This is part of that new world order. It's a world order where, on the contrary, now, it's like the Guzari talks about, there was a period where Klal Yisrael reflected Hashem's covenant through their supernatural lives, through their supernatural success, prosperity, through their supernatural prestige. And now they're reflecting Hashem's covenant almost from the other direction, where it's a reality of nobody can understand how the Jews are still around because everybody just wants to get rid of them. But they're still there. And that's how Hashem's covenant is reflected, because the mice at the end of the day, it still is him who is the heartbeat of the Jewish people. Then we say Haysaka Almana. Chazal say something that I as I saw this in the Medrash, I understood this is what Rabbi Avigdor Miller would say all the time. The lashon of Chazal is there are two explanations in the Mefarshim, meaning a few of the Mefarshim give one explanation, a few give the other explanation. What's that? The words in Hebrew are Heim lay polsho achamidas adin, umidas adin lay polsho achrehem. What does that mean? So there are two explanations in the Mefarshim. I'm going to follow what the Yifei Anaf and the Marzu say, that the intent is, with all of their sins, are being put into perspective here. All of their sins, at the end of the day, were not really Adasof. Meaning, all the accusations of the Jews have to be taken in perspective. You look at the accusations of the Jews, it seems like they're one of the worst people. Not really true. as bad as they got, they did not get to the place that when other nations go down spiritually, they get to. They did not get to such a place. The Jews in their spiritual low was still much higher than the other nations. And therefore, the punishment also. The punishment was very bad. But whereas the pattern of world history is that a nation has its moment in the sun, has its period in the sun, and then when it starts sinking, it sinks, and then it disappears. Right? It disappears. It's not how it worked with the Jewish people, because Hashem operates differently with them. Hashem operates differently with them. This is actually something we'll talk about later in this year, but the way it works is that, yes, for the Jewish people, rock bottom is here, where for the rest of the world, rock bottom is down on the floor. When the Jews hit rock bottom, Hashem acts. Doesn't wait for them to get to where other nations might get. For this reason itself, it's like Chazal say, when they start accumulating some averas, Hashem brings punishment on them to clean their slate in order not to let it reach a place of, or the way it works with their other nations, let them drop, hit rock bottom, and then they're swept off the scene. The Jewish people have a long history, an uncanny history of, I don't know if there's any other nation that's been so consistently oppressed by the greatest powers of the world, right? And we're still here. Right? So long being at the mercy of other powers of the world, and we're still here. We're still here. Because, yeah, Hashem punishes, but Berachamim, the Jewish people are still there afterwards. He punishes again. They're still there afterwards. And therefore, the Pasuk says, Ke Almana, not Hoysa Almana. She'll never really become an Almana. Never. Hoysa Ke Almana. She's like an Almana. Comparable to an Almana. Mashal for an Almana. Kind of looks like an Almana. And the Chazal and the Medrash bring other Pesukim where also when it talks about the wickedness of Klal Yisrael, also you have those expressions of Haisa Yehuda Kimasige Gvul is a pasuk that the Medrash brings. Other Pesukim, when it's discussing their wickedness, it's also said in the form of ki, meaning they are in that direction. They're in that direction. But this is again ki almana. What does ki almana mean? Ke almana means like, Chazal say, she's not an almana. Holach balo limdina sayam va'osid la'achzor. Her husband is away, but he plans to come back. And even more than that, the way Chazal put it is from two directions. They say, it's a mashal they give two mashalim going in both directions of the ke almana. Why, it's like an almana, but not quite an almana. First of all, they say, it's like an almano shesu tovas mezenisev le tovas ksubasa. So the first thing we have to note is an almana is different than a grusha. It doesn't say she's like a grusha, right? A grusha, there was a rift, and the ties were cut. It's not so at all. The love can be greater, right? The love is that very, very much there. She's a widow. But even more than that, Rav Moshe David Vali says, an almana carries a nitzitz of her husband with her. But the grusha is krisus, right? Cut off, and zel. Any connection is conclusively severed. So with an almana, not only did the love not go away, but besides that, there remains, the way he puts it is, a nitzitz of her husband remains with her. Still connected. And Chazal give two mishalim for this, two different directions. One is, it says like an almana who demanded her support but did not demand her ksuba, meaning an almana is entitled to two levels of support if her husband dies. Ksuba is a large grant that she's giving, right? Because almana call it severance pay, I don't know whatever, right? But if she doesn't want to collect a ksuba, she can remain in her husband's home and just collect regular support, ongoing support. As long as she doesn't sue for her ksuba, she can continue collecting the ongoing support. I said, this is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Hashem casts them off, but they're still not suing for their ksuba. They're remaining connected. They're remaining connected. And on the other side of the coin is, they say a mashal, on Hashem's hand. It says it's like a king who got angry at his wife. So he wrote her a get, handed it to her, but then grabbed it back. And when she tries to get married, he says to her, where's your get? You don't have a get. She doesn't have it. And when she comes and demands that he let her in, he picks up the get. And he says, what do you mean? We're divorced. So this is going showing from Hashem's angle how, yes, there was an act of priest was given. But nevertheless, Hashem is not actually handing the get to the Jewish people. He's holding on to it on both ends. It's being very made very, very clear already then that Hashem is holding on. Hashem is holding on even more than that. Like we said before, in Almana, the love is there very intensely. The love didn't go anywhere. The love didn't go anywhere. And that was manifested in the fact that, right, what was seen when the Goyim actually entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kruvim, which are a reflection of Hashem's state with Klal Yisrael, we're embracing each other. We're embracing each other. The love was there even as Hashem was sending them out. And he was doing so in pain. He wasn't doing it in a form of just good riddance. Not at all. The love became that much more intensified then. Okay, we're in mid-sentence, but we'll stop here.
Thank you very much.